Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Heartway fam. Happy Sunday. I'm so excited to be here with you all today on this beautiful Sunday morning. So as many of you may or may not know, Danny and I spent the last week in California. We got to visit Yosemite National Park, and it's one of my favorite places in the world because it's just so magical and beautiful, and it's one of those places that is just, you can't believe it's real because it's so beautiful. So when you're in the park, there's a lot of driving to be done to get to all of the main spots. So I drove a lot of the time while we were there because I just personally love driving in the mountains, and it's just so beautiful. So one of the times that I was driving, I remember Danny, he kept looking at the view and he was like, oh my God, wow, look at that, that's so beautiful. And I couldn't look because I was driving. So a few thoughts came to me after that moment. And what came to me was that how many times are we not living our lives because we're so in control? We always want to be in the driver's seat. We always want to have that control. We never let God take the wheel, and so that we can enjoy the view. So today's meditation, I really want us to focus on letting go of anything that doesn't serve us, letting go of that control that we always have in our lives. So I want you to get into a comfortable position. If you want to sit with your legs crossed, you can. If you want to place your hands facing down, you can. You can face your palms up, or you can keep your hands in the center. So go ahead and release any tension that you're holding in your body. Go ahead and close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And we're gonna start off by taking a few deep breaths. I'm gonna take 3 deep breaths together. One more. Release any tension that you're holding in your shoulders. Go ahead and release that. Go ahead and bring your head facing downward. And continue to breathe. Today we release anything that doesn't serve us. Today we release anger. Today we release fear. Today we release control. We release jealousy. We release all that doesn't serve us. I want you to focus on your breath. When the thoughts arise, bring yourself back to that breath. These breaths that you're breathing are such a gift. You are such a gift. Know that in this moment and every moment, control does nothing but hold you back, holds you back from living beautiful, fulfilled life that God wants for you. I want you to sink into God's presence and know that God is in control. Allow Him to take the wheel of your life. God's ways are always better than our own. Continue to breathe and focus on this present moment. Don't worry about what you have to do later, tomorrow, or the day after. Be here right now. Letting go allows us to be in this very present. Know that you giving yourself this time is a gift. And these moments of peace are available to you at any time. So we're going to take 3 more deep breaths together. Go ahead and inhale. Exhale. Go ahead and take 1 more big inhale. We're going to exhale. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and open up your eyes. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We love you all so much. Have an incredible day.
What's up, Heartway family? Thank you for joining us today for another week of Heartway at Home. It's been an incredible blessing for us to be able to continue to do this and pour into you during this very odd time that we're living in. And we hope that this has been nourishing to your soul, that it's been filling you up from the inside out, and that you're continuing to grow and expand even now, as things are the way that they are. Today, I want to begin by reading to you a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. These are Jesus's words, Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. He says, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." Now, like most of the things that Jesus said, this cannot be understood at a strictly literal level. If you try and read these words and understand them and interpret them through a literal lens, you won't understand what Jesus is saying, because Jesus always spoke to deep spiritual truths that can only be pointed to indirectly, because our own experience of God is beyond words. It's beyond concepts. We can only hint at it with metaphor, with symbol, with analogy. And so oftentimes Jesus would say things like, "You have eyes, but you don't really see. You have ears, but you don't really hear. You see a lot in the Gospels, Jesus healing people who are blind, the blind receiving sight. This is a recurring theme that we read throughout the New Testament. What does Jesus mean when he says we have eyes, but we don't necessarily see? You know, spiritual growth is all about transformation in the way that we see. It's learning how to see differently, not just from our eyes, but from our heart. Now, the job of every good spiritual teacher is not to tell you what to see, but to help you learn how to see. The more you can understand the way that your mind works, the more aware you become of your internal world, the sharper your seeing and your perception becomes. You move from one mode of being to another. You move from knowing to not knowing, from judgment to love, from certainty to openness. And this movement, this shift in perception, is a lifelong process because there are always deeper experiences of love to be had. We can always go deeper into humility, deeper into openness, deeper into acceptance. Well, there's this one theologian. He was a Scottish philosopher and theologian in the medieval times by the name of Richard of St. Victor. And Richard of St. Victor is known throughout Christianity as a wonderful thinker who particularly had a lot to say about God as Trinity. That's what he is popular for. But in one of his writings, Richard of St. Victor talked about humanity being given three sets of eyes. And the three sets of eyes are these. The first was the eye of the senses, or our physical eyes. The second was the eye of reason, or the intellect, the mind. And the third set of eyes is the eyes of true understanding, which is what the mystics and the saints have referred to as contemplation. To contemplate means to gaze at intently. Contemplation is about seeing as God sees. It's seeing God in everything and seeing everything as an expression of God. To see with this third set of eyes requires a radical shift and transformation of human consciousness. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, Paul actually prays that God would grant us these new sets of eyes. He asks God to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. St. Augustine also has this wonderful quote where he says, "Our whole business in this life is to restore to health the eye of the heart whereby God may be seen." The eye of the heart, to see through the eyes of the heart, is to approach life with a sense of openness. It's to be rooted and grounded in love. It's being able to recognize the limitation of your mind and the malleability of intellectual truth, because intellectual truth really is malleable. All you need is to find an expert that will back up what you say, and there are people who will back up anything. I mean, anything can be said to be true when it comes to the intellect, and we have our proofs, and we have our facts. When you look out at life through the eyes of your heart, you recognize the limitation of the mind. You recognize the limitation of your judgments. You recognize how malleable intellectual truth is. And so you surrender the intellect to God so that now the intellect is used in service of love. And when your intellect is now used in service of love, when your mind and your heart are synthesized into one, that's when transformation happens. When you look out at life through the eyes of your heart, you refrain from judging. You let go of the need to constantly label everything and to attribute meaning to everything that happens. Plato has this wonderful quote where he says, "In every man, there is an eye of the soul, which is far more precious than 10,000 bodily eyes, for by it alone, truth is seen." I love those words, and they remind me of what it says in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, "The natural man
receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's an important phrase there. Without spiritual discernment, we are incapable of perceiving God in the ups and downs of our life. However, with spiritual discernment, up is down and down is up. Because what other people see as down for us becomes up, because we understand that this down moment, this down event, this down season, this down circumstance is an opportunity for us to grow deeper in our connection to God and to grow in our self-awareness, which of course makes us immovable in the face of life's constant changes. We become comfortable anywhere and in anything because we are rooted and we are grounded. Circumstances don't need to be a certain way in order for us to be in a state of peace. That is what spiritual discernment is able to produce in our lives. Now, going back to these three sets of eyes that Richard of St. Victor taught us, the difference between the second set of eyes and the third set of eyes, the eyes of the intellect and the eye of the heart, is the difference between dualistic thinking and non-dualistic thinking. And of course, I've introduced all of this before, but today I want us to take one step deeper. So the difference is between dualistic thinking and non-dualistic thinking. Dualistic thinking is either or thinking. It's thinking that is grounded in certainty. It's concerned with being right. Dualistic thinking takes sides. The dualistic mind loves to label and judge and criticize and oppose. And all of us inevitably are dualistic when we identify with our thoughts, when we identify with the content of our mind, when we believe the judgments that we make. On the other hand, the non-dualistic mind, the contemplative mind, is a mind that is centered in love. This mind is able to make room for paradox and mystery. It's a mind that is open. It's not closed off to any possibility. The non-dualistic mind is able to hold two opposing ideas at the same time, even when they seem to contradict, which in my definition is a mind that is free. So as you begin to see with this third eye, as you learn how to look out at life through the eyes of your heart, as you begin to develop a non-dualistic way of experiencing and relating to reality, that starts shifting the way that you experience life. You start operating differently in this world. It's almost as if God installs a new software in you that now changes the way that you experience everything. You know, lately there's been so much political turmoil in our world. And for some reason, I've been getting in this habit of watching the news, but not just watching one channel, okay? I watch both sides. So literally the way that I'll watch the news now is I'll turn on the TV and I'll watch Fox for a little bit. Then I'll go to CNN. Then I'll go back to Fox. Then I'll go back to CNN. And I just teeter-totter in between these two. Why do I do that? Well, because oftentimes as human beings, we don't recognize how easy it is for us to get trapped in our biases. We forget that two opposing thoughts can be true at the same time. And our world is filled with so much polarization, so much judgment, so much criticism that it's the normal thing for people to be one-sided, to take a stance and to just stand on their side and oppose the other side with all of the force that they've got. But here's the deal. Love is not one-sided. Love is centered. Now, when I say this word center, here's what I don't mean. Center does not mean moderate. Being centered does not mean being neutral, because love requires different actions and different words at different times. And the center is actually always moving, because the pendulum of the collective consciousness and ego is always swinging and shifting. And so sometimes being centered and balanced may mean leaning more in one direction than in another. And so, of course, all of this is paradoxical in its own way, but true nevertheless. So I've been asking God to help me zoom out, help me to see life through the widest lens possible. Help me see things from the widest perspective, as zoomed out as possible. And what I've come to see is that people who stand opposed to each other need one another. We cannot just eliminate the other side because we don't like them, or because we disagree with them, or because we think they're wrong. In fact, the tension that comes from opposites clashing is how we improve. It's how we evolve as a species. However, seeing through the eyes of our heart allows us to realize that there's always some kernel of truth on the other side. There's always some truth at work in the other side. And if we are incapable of seeing that kernel of truth on the other side, and this isn't just dealing with politics, this is all of life. But of course, politics is what's on most of our minds right now. But if we cannot see the kernel of truth on the other side, that is a sign to us that in that moment we are off balance. We are off center. We are not seeing things clearly. We're not seeing with the third set of eyes. We're not seeing through the eyes of our heart. You can know that you are not seeing the full picture if you're completely dismissive of the other side. And this is true both collectively in the way that we work as a society, and individually in our relationships with one another. In your arguments, in your issues that you have with other people, you can be 100% sure that you aren't seeing things clearly, that you don't have the whole picture if you are totally and completely dismissive of the other side. There's one philosopher by the name of Ken Wilber who says, nobody is smart enough to be 100% wrong all the time. I love that. Nobody is smart enough to be 100% wrong all of the time. The issue is our judgments keep us from seeing that. We don't recognize, as I've said before, that all judgment is ultimately self-judgment. Everything that we judge in others is what we are blind to within ourselves. So if we could just have the humility to turn around our judgments and see how these judgments are also true of ourselves, then we can begin to live from the heart, to live in love, to transform our consciousness, to change our way of being in this world. And this is why I love studying history. Because when you study history, you see that empires come and empires go. Governments rise and governments fall. But truth remains the same. There is nothing new under the sun, which is what the scriptures teach. Everything that we're seeing, all the chaos that we're seeing in our world now, has happened before. It will continue to happen again. In every civilization, from everything I've learned in my studies, in every civilization, I've seen that there are two kinds of people. There are people who really want to enforce the status quo. Okay, so this group that wants to enforce the status quo, they see the government and the powers that be as being above reproach, above critique. So if you speak against the powers that be, you are the problem. That's one group, the group that likes to enforce the status quo. It's working for them. And then you have the other group that likes to challenge the status quo. This group likes to bring reform. This group sees the need for change. Here's the hard truth that none of us want to hear. Both of these sides bring something necessary to the table, and neither side sees the full picture. This is why in our Bibles, we see that the scripture both strongly critiques empire and oppressive political regimes, while also in other places, the scriptures acknowledge the good qualities of even the most broken governmental systems that we have. So on the one hand, you have Moses, the liberator of God's people from slavery. You have the prophets. You have Jesus, who were constantly speaking truth to power and who were looking to overthrow the status quo, challenging the injustices of the powers that be. And on the other hand, you have scriptures in the New Testament, Romans 13, for example, which has been greatly abused, but nevertheless, it's in the scriptures. And in Romans 13, Paul is willing to acknowledge the good that comes from the governmental systems, to the point where he says we should honor governmental authority and pray for those who are in leadership over us. And we should see the good that comes from the systems that human beings have created, in that they help to temper and restrain evil. Even though, of course, we know that the sword cuts both ways, because there's a lot of evil that's oftentimes done in the name of good. But my point is, the scriptures present to us balance. It's about finding the center. When you can live from your center, that is when you truly become a peacemaker, because now you're not just speaking truth to power, you are living your truth in power without needing to enforce it on other people. And you simply living your empowering truth has a transformative effect on the lives that are around you. Because guess what? You cannot control and change other people. So the most effective way to change the world is changing yourself, particularly changing the way that we relate to our thoughts and our emotions, changing the way that we perceive, the way that we see. How do you see? Do you see through eyes of love? Do you see through eyes of compassion? Do you see God in everything? And do you see everything as an expression of God? Do you see the higher order, the higher intelligence at work in and through the seeming chaos and disorder of existence? That's what it means to see through the eyes of your heart. And that kind of work, inner work, this will take you your lifetime. This will keep you so busy that you won't have much to say to other people about how they need to live and what they need to be doing, because you're busy enough handling your own stuff. The heart-centered person is the kind of person that doesn't feel the need to push an agenda on anybody, because the heart-centered person is simply concerned with walking in love, living in empathy, treating other people the way that they want to be treated, understanding other people and where they are coming from. And so when we are in this state of mind, when we are looking out at life through the eyes of our heart, we lay down our superiority for humility. We don't have to be right anymore. We stop demanding things from life and we start giving our life away. We give our life away. We trade in our judgment for true understanding, divine understanding, beginning to look at life through other people's eyes, seeing things the way that other people see them to the best of our ability, truly seeking to remain connected to people and not allow our beliefs and our judgments and what we believe to be true and right to get in the way of a deeper connectivity. Don't get me wrong. There are ideologies and belief systems in this world that are extremely toxic and harmful. But people are not their beliefs. And when we attach people to their beliefs, we create enemies, because now we cannot see those people as anything other than that which we are against. You hold that belief, you made that statement, now you are on the other side, and there is a rift that is created. Yes, there are certain mindsets that are totally dispensable, but human beings aren't. Every human being carries the divine DNA within them, image bearers of God. Do you see God in them? Can you see yourself in others? If you look hard enough, if you look through the eye of the intellect, you won't see yourself in the other. If you look through the eye of the heart, you will see that everyone is a reflection of you. You won't be able to judge anymore. There's nothing to judge, because you understand that what you are judging out there is what you are projecting from in here. My business is this. That's it. This is my business. I only stay concerned with my internal world. What other people think and what other people believe and what other people do and what other people say is their business. And they operate the way that they do because they operate the way that they do. That is how life and experience has shaped and formed these people. And we leave room for that. We understand that so often people operate from a place of ignorance. If they knew better, they would do better. This is all they know. But if you haven't seen these things to be true about yourself, as you reflect on your life, you won't be able to see that this is true of others. The reason why we attack one another, the reason why we fight with each other, is because we live in fear. We are afraid of one another. And so we dehumanize each other. Love does not attack, and love does not defend. Love embraces. Love embraces. This is why Jesus said, we are in the world, but not of it. We are in the world, but we are not of it. Why? Because we live surrendered now. And so we trust that somehow, some way, God is at work through the broken systems and structures that are in place right now in our world, in this country, even with all of the issues at play that are there and that we do not need to ignore, that we need to acknowledge, while also being able to see that transformation for the future is possible. And yet even this expectation for a better future is something that I've learned I have to let go of too, because guess what? Things may get worse before they get better. We may have to take 3 steps back before we take 2 steps forward as a species, as a country, as a religion. And so I've got to also, even though, yes, hope for the future, work for transformation, see a better future, yes, but I have to let go of my expectations of what that's going to look like and how that's going to come, because it may not come or show up the way that I see it or the way that I want it to or in the timetable that I have set for it. And if I don't let that go, I'm going to be in a state of inner conflict. I won't be at peace. I will be suffering. So you always just come back to yourself. That's what it means to live from the heart. You just come back to yourself over and over and over again. How am I gonna live? How will I exist? What will my life be about? How will I see? If you want heaven on earth, if you want transformation, if you want God's will to be done, choose love. Choose humility. Choose to look at life through the eyes of your heart. Set aside your judgment. Recognize that what you see with your mind's eye is always limited and biased and partial. And begin to allow the love of God and the grace of God to shape the way that you think. Did you know that that's actually what the word repentance means? And Jesus talked about repentance. That was his message. Repent. Change your mind. Change the way that you see, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The eyes of your heart. This is why Jesus said, we are the light of the world. When you live from the eyes of your heart enlightens your path for you. And we truly do bring light into this world. The light of higher consciousness. The light of a transformed way of being. And so God, our prayer today is that you would help us to see as you see. That you would help us to see through the eyes of our heart. So that we can see you in everything and see everything as an expression of you. Help us, God, to find our center, to do all that love requires of us in this present moment, but to avoid taking sides. And instead, God, to move beyond the labels and judgments of the mind so that we can remain connected from our heart to the hearts of others. This is true transformation. This is what it means to be the people of God. Change us, God. We open up our hearts so that you can do the work that you are only capable of doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. Love you.